Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
We did not spend 2 seconds before the show talking about who's going to drive. Rob, would you like to drive today?
I guess I am driving. Welcome to the car. I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I guess I got to take my Angry Colonel hat off and just be a cadet this time, or former cadet. Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show, or Ask for Lax, and we're going to talk about some spring sports and the Fenway Bowl. So, college football is officially in the books. Like, if you watch the championship game on Monday, mixed emotions for certain people. Like, I could care less. I was just glad to see a good contest that, like, took it into the fourth quarter to finish and win the game. But certainly on to bigger and better things. We got lacrosse coming up very soon, and men and women's basketball is in the height. If you did not watch the men's game last night, you missed out on a treat because they beat Bucknell in overtime. I was like, man, this game is running long. So I checked out the tail end of it, and, you know, always great when it ends positively, particularly after you check into a game a little bit late, because I was watching the score on my phone and then I jumped in and watched the rest of the game. Super, super impressive. Great job from the men's basketball team. Women's basketball team is rolling. One of the scariest things is, like, we've been doing this show for so long, plebes are now firsties. But we will talk about that a little bit later. How are we doing, guys?
Good, man. I will say, just like, I want to talk about the national championship just a little bit and then get off the topic. I told you this before. Carson Beck graduated 2 years ago and has not been to class in 2 years. Why is my man playing college football? Like, in what universe is that acceptable?
It's called NCAA eligibility. And dude, until they change the rules,
I'm not a fan. I mean, I'm
yeah,
Carson Beck is 5 years. Dudes getting paid, but come on now.
Yeah, that was a bit excessive. Omar, how you doing?
I'm doing good, just prepping for Snowmageddon out here in the Midwest. I told my wife, I'm like, it's funny, as a kid, I would look downstairs to my room and be like, oh my gosh, it's snowing, and see my dad shoveling away at snow. And now I'm the dad shoveling snow. As we don't have upstairs, but as my wife and daughter look on. But on the Carson Beck note, I do agree that it is kind of frivolous. I'm not going to get into the specifics of what classes he was taking, but I note that there was a similar situation in 04 or 05 where Matt Leiner was taking ballroom dancing just to be eligible. So maybe it's a situation like that. Maybe Carson Beck is taking ballroom dancing or samba, since it's a nice Cuban influence in Miami.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, at the end of the day, you know, like, it's a mixed bag. We know NIL is always going to be crazy. There's always going to be some kind of controversy that comes out. And I think it's just the nature of college football. But speaking of a person that is not controversial, we have a realtor that is not controversial at all. If you listen to this show at all, you know that we have a realtor here. And she's sponsoring the show. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line, class of 2010. She served as an Army logistics officer, where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now, as a dedicated realtor, she brings the same commitment to help you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service and a seamless home buying experience, and it's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, she has an extensive network of veteran realtors that spans the country, and she can help you find a home wherever your PCS is taking you. And if you are looking for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She'll help you find somebody, a professional of integrity in your next market. A supportive Ask for Football this season, Jocelyn is a realtor you can trust to make your next move effortless. Over to you, Dano. Let's talk some Army football.
Yeah, man. So there's three things, right? We've got the Fenway Bowl and then postseason honors, of which there were a lot, and then coaching moves. So quickly, Army won the Fenway Bowl, beating UConn 41-16. I think the story of the game was running back God's Power Nwawe's breakout performance. 12 carries, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns. We all saw it. The guy, you know, it was like a coming of age story for that guy. Fullback Jake Rendina added 14 carries for 87 yards. Carson Smith, 9 carries for 49 yards, which, by the way, not a bad day in very limited action. Unsurprisingly, Army's offense looked great with them getting that much production out of their B-backs and tackles. I just want to put a pin in that and come back to it later when we get to our mailbag, because quite a bit of discussion about like the fullback slash running back room and the offensive play calling and stuff. And I just want to note that when you can run up the middle, you can do a lot of other shit too. So, team had a lot of postseason honors. Offensive lineman Will Jeffcoat named a Football Writers Association of America second team All-American. Not a bad way to finish your Army career. Center Brady Small named to the All-ECAC team. Also pretty good. Jeffcoat and Nwawe named to the All-Bowl team. And postseason All-Star games, Caleb Fortner selected to play in the Hula Bowl. Andon Thomas selected to play in the College Gridiron Showcase. Noah Short selected to play in the American Bowl. Did I get all that right? Omar, you're our resident postseason bowl expert.
Yes, I love my All-Star games. You got them all right. The American Bowl is actually tonight. So if you have NFL Network, for those watching, just tune in. Hopefully Noah Short catches a pass, which I do have newspaper clippings of every Army player that has caught a pass in an All-Star game, if anyone's willing to private message me for that.
That's pretty cool.
Coaching moves. DC Nate Woody left the team to go become the defensive coordinator at Cincinnati. Safeties coach Danny Verpale, I hope I said that right, left to take the same job at South Florida, which is his alma mater. Coach Munkin promoted Daryl Dixon from cornerbacks coach to be the new defensive coordinator. Dixon has been on staff since 2016. He's got kind of a huge number of accolades, not the least of which is that he coached Elijah Riley. And then Scott Sloan rejoined the staff to coach safeties and was then named the co-defensive coordinator. You know, he had been the Samford's defensive coordinator, then served as their interim head coach for the last two games of the season. He'd previously already served as Army safety coach and co-DC. So it's a true return. And after reading that, I felt a little better about it. I mean, I'm obviously Nate Woody had a lot going on and was a pretty successful DC, but you got kind of a lot of experience there. So I'm sort of excited. And yeah, I'll kick it over to you guys for thoughts on any of this stuff.
Yeah, I got 3 points and I'll make them really quick. So coaching changes happen. It's an inevitable byproduct of college football and success. You have a successful defense year after year. Eventually somebody's going to poach you. I mean, it's going to happen. And, you know, not so much it's not a lateral move. It's an upward move. If you're looking from, you know, group of five to power four. So, I mean, it's a smart decision. Plus, I think it's a reuniting with some of the other coaching staff that Nate Woody was with previously. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. You kind of stay within the coaching tree and, you know, get to work with somebody that you've worked with in the past. So not such a bad thing. And when you look at the guys that came in, they all are pretty tenured and experienced guys. They've coached very, very well. You know, sadly, when you look at college football and even in the pros, you know, the position coaches don't get a lot of publicity. It's usually the OC and the DC. And so to have these guys that have been in the program for almost 10 years, it'll be 10 years by the time they start the next season, shouldn't be that big of an issue. Postseason recognition, good for the brand. I'll put my pin on that one. And then again, I think the reality of it is ESPN wants to see people transfer out of service academies. And the reason why they do is because it fits with the new model. So everybody, like immediately before the game was over, the socials were blown up like, oh, God's power is going to transfer. Like, look, dude, like here's an honest message. If you're listening, if you're not listening, like there are plenty of cautionary tales of players transferring from teams to think that they're going to do better. And the grass is not greener on the other side. It's where you water it. So if you take the time, develop and grow in the program that recruited you, you're probably going to be successful. Trying to jump into the portal, it is a black hole of talent. There are a lot of guys that go in that don't come out. And those that do are exceptionally lucky. But I will pause there. Over to you, Omar.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with like a lot of what you said there too. I mean, starting with the postseason recognition, I think Army can use that as a recruiting point. It's like, come to West Point where you can win bowl games, because we don't have opt-outs for bowl games. You don't have to play with a 40-man roster and a fourth-string quarterback. Like, we will win a bowl game. We will win a game on national TV, period. A standalone game, even though this year's game had some TV competition. But like a standalone game, like, I think that's a great recruiting point in the future. It's that I think Army, the Army coaching staff should leverage. I agree with like the coaching changes, and I don't know if this is a topic more for the play calling, but I kind of like the what we have going at fullback next year. And in my mind, I'm using a baseball analogy, right? Where you look at, you know, a batting lineup, right? You got your leadoff guys, you got your two hitter, at least two hitter in the old sense before sabermetrics took over when you put the power. But you got your single hitters, right? Your guys that get on base that are consistent in Carson Smith and Jake Rendina. Then you got your home run hitter in the three spot in God's power. And that's what really excites me, too. It's like, if we need to go 20 plays for 50 yards against Temple, put Carson Smith or Jake Rendina in. But if we need to, like, have a well-oiled triple option, like, God's power is, like, really, really making me excited for next year, too. I mean, I guess for another analogy, like you got your Colin Mooney's and you got your Michael Wallace's on the roster. And that's like, I don't think we've really ever had an offense that could rotate like that fullback wise.
Yeah, that's fair. Dano, thoughts?
So God's power play was obviously really the talk after the bowl game. I mean, when we were talking about putting a show together just to talk about the bowl game, it's like, okay, but what else do you talk about besides this kid showing up, right? And everybody was fired up. I will say, you know, when they first stuck him at running back, I thought that they were just trying to get experience for a plebe that they liked and wanted to prep to play at quarterback and when he's, you know, 2 years away. But he looks like a real solution at running back. And so I guess that's probably where he's going to stick around for better or worse. And yeah, man, I agree with you about the coaching things. I wasn't excited when those guys left, but, you know, you promoted some guys within. Obviously, everybody's pretty happy with the scheme. We'll see how it goes. And I agree. I'm cautiously optimistic for next season. A lot of players returning, a lot of chaos around the rest of the American. Like, it's a tough in-conference schedule, but signs point to a decent season. It's kind of the expectation, I think, at this point.
Yeah, sounds good. So, speaking of good season, there's a guy that'll get you a good season on your next mortgage if you're looking for a home. Dano, could you tell us about Craig?
Friends, Craig Oxane is an area sales manager for the Money Store. He is a West Point graduate, class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Craig will offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And guys, it's important because the mortgage process is super confusing, right? Interest rates move all over the place. You're trying to get your house inspected. You've got all this stuff going on, trying to organize a move. Oh, by the way, it's just not the time to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you, of which there are many. You want to deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not a random big box bank, not a minus website, somebody whom you could pick up the phone and just call them on the phone and talk to them. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football. We're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a gigantic savings. It's like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. Like, don't be absurd. That is worth doing. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. Check him out. His link's on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. Craig, Jocelyn, and Greg, Ianelli, all of our sponsors have those little business cards there. You click on those things. You fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to any of them, all of them, within a few hours. It's too easy.
Thanks, Dano. So we're rolling into Ask for Lax. I mean, it's crazy that like football season is over. It seemed like the season starts to drag towards the end and then it picks up steam and then it's over like after the playoffs. But we're moving into lacrosse. So lacrosse starts at the end of this month, which is nuts. Dano, you want to run us through the preview?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to start on the men's side and with apologies, because I think the women could totally have a great season, but there's just not as much written about them. And so they're a little harder to do research on. But lacrosse season starts January 31st at Mikey Stadium. We're hosting against UMass. The team enters the season ranked almost as highly this year as they were last year. They're coming in. Inside Lacrosse has them at number 12. USA Lacrosse has them at number 14. That's totally incredible considering that they lost 5 All-Americans to graduation last year, including Towerton Award finalist Jackson Eicher. Last year they were ranked, you know, somewhere between 8 and 10 nationally, and now they come in 12 to 14 after losing 5 just studs. It's crazy. Team has seen a ton of preseason awards. Inside Lacrosse named midfielder Evan Plunkett their 16th best player in the nation. They named goalie Sean Byrne the 28th best player in the nation. USA Lacrosse has named both guys preseason All-Americans. Army was picked first in the Patriot League preseason poll, which is not new. That's a thing that's been going on for a while. And all Patriot League picks include, obviously, Plunkett and Sean Byrne, but also Hill Plunkett, Evan's younger brother, as well as first-team defenseman John Sullivan and short-stick defensive midfielder Keegan Tracy. And it's pretty incredible that they left Braden Fountain off that, considering that he scored something like 35 goals as a plebe last year. So this team should be pretty good on the offensive end. You've got Fountain, Hill Plunkett, Evan Plunkett, and Gunnar Fellows leading the attack, plus Aiden Weisenbord sort of rounding that out at midfield. However, they lost an All-American faceoff guy in Will Colletti. They're going to replace him with Cal Robert-Simone, who is only about a 50% faceoff guy. So you're going from 65-70% faceoff wins to like 50. That's tough. And then they also lost an All-American defensive midfielder in Christian Mazur and All-American defenseman AJ Pilot. So something to watch this season is how well this team does in faceoffs, and then how well they're able to create turnovers in the defensive end and then move the ball, you know, past the ride and out to their offense, because you don't get the ball automatically when the other team scores in lacrosse. It is you fight for every single possession. So having a good guy on those restarts is really, really critical. So that's definitely something to watch. On the women's side, Army comes in ranked 21st in the coaches poll. There's, you know, a ton more wins lacrosse teams all over the nation. So that's about equivalent to where the men are. Midfielder Bridget Dovey has earned a ton of preseason honors, preseason All-American. She was named to the U.S. Women's National Field Team. She was also on the Dean's List fall semester at West Point, which is actually incredible. Attack Allison Riley was named to the third team preseason All-American. Goalie Lindsay Serafine also returns. There's a few more that were named to the All-Patriot League team before the season. This could be a special year for the women, but they have to get by Navy and Loyola to sort of take that next step. But yeah, Duffy's a firstie, Riley's a firstie, Serafine is a firstie. They got to make it happen this year, or you know, I don't know. And the women start with an exhibition against Princeton on the 31st of January. Then they travel to Rutgers on the 6th of February, and then league play opens on the 7th of March at Boston University. So. I really didn't talk too much about the men's schedule, but what are your thoughts about any of this?
All right. So for lacrosse, and I think we've talked about it, and we, you know, James at Brigade Review and you guys dove really deep into it last season about like bracketing and bracketology later on in the season. So, you know, one of the flaws, I think it's coming to college sports, and I think it's going to become more pervasive as there's more money involved, is how rosters and rankings happen, right? So we have a ton of preseason accolades on both men and women's lacrosse, and so that's a great thing for the program. However, when you look at how the postseason slates, people are already slating who they think is going to be in the postseason based off of the conferences that they're in and their preseason rankings, which is kind of insulting to all the athletes that were previously mentioned, because they still got to play the games. You know, you have a ton of talent on both the men and women's team. Like Army's team lost a lot of senior leadership last year, but they've replaced them with younger and just as talented people. They should grow into the playing time over the course of the season. And like, doggone, man, we were just talking about Bridget Duffy like a couple weeks ago being a plebe, and now she's a firstie, right? We're getting old. Time, you know, the time capsule is moving pretty fast without us. But again, and you know, women's lacrosse certainly doesn't get the same level of publicity, you know, writ large, as men's lacrosse does, and particularly in the Northeast. If you're in the Northeast, you're following lacrosse more than likely. You're in the Midwest, in the northern portion around the Great Lakes, you're probably following lacrosse. Elsewhere in the country, I don't know. You know, and I think it's one of the things that's it's unfortunate byproduct with football making so much money, with revenue generating sports being what they are. Like, some of these programs are in jeopardy, even though in the Northeast, you know, lacrosse is a serious thing, but. You know, rarely, if ever, I think last year at the Army Navy game at Mikey Stadium, that was the last time where they really like packed the stadium out with a bunch of fans watching lacrosse.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because Army put 3,000 fans into the stadium at Mikey last year for the game against Boston University, which was probably in the top 10 of attendance figures nationally. You will get Ohio State, Michigan will bring in like 10,000 fans. Syracuse will pack the dome sometimes for lacrosse. Yeah. Like there are schools out there that where it's a big sport. Army is kind of middle of the road in that case, but Army Navy will put 10,000 in the stands, and yeah, 3,000 for BU, just a regular season game, was pretty good.
Yeah, that's impressive. And I think that's ultimately the goal, is like just get the visibility that you can and continue to build the program, because, you know, they're winning, right? And they are putting up, you know, and they're putting up the wins. And that's ultimately at the end of the day, that's why we have the contest. We just hope that, you know, play on the field, say you go 13-1 and you miss the postseason because of some, you know, external factor. Kind of sucks for the players, particularly like those that are in their last season that have busted their, you know, busted their butts for 4 years to be on a winning team. And then you get slighted because of some preseason kind of ranking nonsense. But over to you, Omar, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I can just speak more institutionally with like the schedule, I guess. Not a big lacrosse guy. I know, this is no industry secret, but I'm interested in the schedule, particularly the Michigan game. I think that's a great opportunity for recruiting for lacrosse and potentially our other non-revenue sports too, because you know, Michigan of course is probably one of the biggest brands in college athletics in general, and I don't know the last time that we played Michigan, but just being able to recruit in the South and beat Michigan too, like that's nothing to sneeze at. So I think that'll be great for our non-Olympic sports, or sorry, our Olympic sports / non-revenue sports recruiting. You know, I think I'm excited for that one, honestly, in the doubleheader too with Florida State, another recognizable brand.
Yeah, that's a women's game. That Florida State game's a women's game, but yeah, big game.
Yeah, and that's huge. And you got to think about it. Like, Army pulled off two huge wins against UNC the last couple of years, and there was a lot of boo-hooing about that in the state of North Carolina. But the best part about it is, like, that's why you play games like that, because those are high-leverage contests. And those high-leverage contests, you know, in theory should have high-leverage outcomes. And that's the hope. Like, at the end of the day, if you go in, you beat Florida State in a doubleheader, you should get credit for that, you know? And, like, or even if you split, that would be good, too.
So Army has a really interesting early season schedule, right? They play UMass. UMass is a perennially good team. They typically plays Army tough, kind of in a similar spot where they're usually ranked maybe between number 15 and 25. The top 20 in men's lacrosse only goes to 20. It doesn't go to 25. So they're usually right on the border of being ranked. Then Army is at Rutgers, who could very easily wind up to be a top 10 team. Then they're at home versus perennial powerhouse Yale. So yes, lacrosse is that sport where Yale and Harvard are still powers, which, you know, for better or worse. Then, like you said, Omar, neutral site game against Michigan on February 21st. Michigan is a really interesting lacrosse sport because, like you said, they have all the money in the world. It's like the Death Star of college sports, but it's a relatively, you know, new / emerging sport for Big Blue. And they, you know, they don't have quite the stroke in lacrosse that they do in football. And the Big Ten generally doesn't have remotely the kind of stroke in lacrosse that it does in football. So the ACC is really more the power conference in lacrosse. And then, of course, Army's league play starts on February 28th versus Holy Cross. So that Michigan game is really interesting because right now they're ranked 20th in the nation. And both teams kind of need that win in order to say, hey, you know, we are better than sort of, I don't want to say the top five, but that next group, sort of the in or out of the playoff group, we're better than that group. You know, we are elite, or could be.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. So anything else on lacrosse, gentlemen?
No, I'm glad we got a chance to. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I mean, just another thing. So this is me putting on my my hat as Tom Theodorakis. I don't know why VMI is not on the schedule, right? Are they too good? Are we ducking them? Because I looked at their record. They're 10-4. We're playing another team from the Southern Conference in Mercer that was 2-11 last year. Like, if I'm a fan, right, trying to get into lacrosse, like, I enjoy the Serfs Academy Senior Military College rivalry. So, like, why aren't we capitalizing on that? That's just me as a new lacrosse guy trying to get interested. Like, Mercer doesn't move the needle to me as an Army fan.
So, James can talk 20 minutes about why Army should or should not play Mercer. And spoiler alert, he would say that they should not. VMI and no one from the Southern Conference is going to do Army any favors. Like I said, the ACC is probably the power conference there. Big Ten is probably the next conference. Patriot League is probably the fourth conference, maybe. The Southern Conference is, if they're not last, they got to be one from the bottom. So I don't know why you would need to see Army lacrosse beat VMI 25-2, but that is what would occur. And they're going to beat Mercer like that too with their plebes. So, you know, you put games. So that game is 2 days after the Michigan game, and you put that game on the schedule because you want to practice your playoff or your conference tournament routine. It's usually in season you have a week between games, and then in the conference you play, you know, Friday and then Saturday and then Monday or something like that. You know, 2 days between games. So yeah, this is that. Doubleheader, so to speak, is a chance to practice a different routine, but they're going to beat the shit out of Mercer.
Yeah, that's fair. So one of the things that we like to do is we like to go to the mailbag, and we will ask to answer some of your wonderful questions. But first, for Dan.
You've got mail.
The super creepy mail sounder. So we usually go to the Firsty Club. You can hit us up on the social media at Ask for Football. James Pagano asks, would you like to see the DC stay true to Woody's scheme or switch it up?
I think that scheme works. I could stand a blitz a little bit more, and certainly to blitz a little bit more effectively, like we did earlier in Coach Munkin's tenure. But in terms of, do I want to start getting beat deep over the top? No, the hell I do not.
Yeah, I think zero coverage is a bad thing for Army. I mean, unless you get some tremendous athletes back there, and it's just a, you know, your defensive scheme is your defensive scheme. You know, teams that have benefited this year, you know, you see Ohio State, Indiana ran a similar defense. You know, they a lot of simulated pressure, a lot of simulated blitzes, but that requires your players to be smart and athletic. And sometimes we get smart or athletic and not smart and athletic sometimes, you know, so it's difficult to really kind of balance that until you know what kind of personnel packages you have, and then you can make adjustments based off of that.
If they pick up a kid with Elijah Riley's abilities, then you can afford to do some different things. Yeah. But until that happens, you sort of got to be smart about it.
Yeah, you have to have a lockdown corner, particularly on like the wide receiver number one, to create a lot of those that movement up front. And some of it you can do with just a defensive line scheme. So you can stunt and you can do some stuff with your edge rushers and your defensive linemen. So I think there's some things that you can do to kind of beef up the defense. And again, I think a lot of the shortfalls with the defense this season, believe it or not, was just the fact that the offense was not controlling the ball as aggressively as they have in the past. You know, I think we chased a lot of explosives this year, and offensively chasing those explosives led to the defense being on the field a lot more. But we'll pause there and move on to the next question. West Point Dave asked, who do we think will fill the middle linebacker roles with the graduation of Thomas and Fortner?
I was telling you guys before the show, yeah, I went on like kind of a crazy deep dive trying to figure this out. So Army currently has 14 inside linebackers listed on the roster, and 9 are plebes. So with the note that a plebe could totally, you know, current plebe next year, rising yearling, could totally come out of nowhere and start, that's not how I'd bet. And there's also no guarantee that dudes won't switch positions. So like if there's a guy currently buried as the number 3 outside linebacker and they think he could move inside, that could totally happen. But with that said, your current roster, firstly, Baylor Newsom, 6'1", 200, played a lot last season, played 4 games in 2024, 9 tackles, 5 solo, 1 pass defended, 1 interception. You got to think he's probably got the inside track. Cal Brennan Fisher, 5'11", 230, not seen any action. Cal Elijah Walton, 6'0", 220, played 11 games last year, 8 tackles, 2 solo, 1 forced fumble. Cal Khalid Waliga, 5'10", 215, has not seen action. Firsty Jake Lindsey, 5'10", 215, played in 10 games last season, 1 game in 2024, made a tackle versus Navy. And finally, current plea, Bryson Banks, my personal hope that he sees a field, 5'8", 248, played in 8 games, made 2 tackles. It's like putting Scott Steiner out there at inside linebacker. We'll see how the spring game goes.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's always interesting. And again, we asked that question last year too, like at the end of the season, like who's going to replace, you know, who's going to step up and be, you know, Captain America in the middle linebacking core. I think this year we were incredibly blessed to have Fortner and Thomas. And like there really was no standout moments for either one of them because they just both played so consistently. Like years before you had like Eric Smith, who was like, hey, that guy's all over the field because he had to be. But I think this was a good tandem, and I think maybe that's one of the things that we're starting to see just with the development over time of bringing in players is coach can get two linebackers that play really well together that are complementary, which is cool, right? Like, you know, ideally you don't want one single guy being the heart of your defense. You do in the sense of like emotionally, but from a skill or position, you know, having two great inside linebackers is a very good thing. Moving on, and this is an interesting question because I think we've talked about this and we've alluded to it, and I think everybody's going to be mulling over this while they drink their coffee and read their postseason reviews from last year. But AJ Scott asked, with the emergence of God's power, Wahwehe, as a power back, how do you think it will impact the play calling next year? So thoughts on GP in as the RB?
Let's kick that one over to Omar because I've been talking a lot.
Okay, yeah, so I got plenty of thoughts on play calling, and like I'm not going to cast stones with anyone, but I have an interesting, I think an outside the box take with this. I think it's going to open the outsides much more when you have three different fullbacks, because looking at Noah Schwartz's game log, and it's great, he had a great year, but you take away the 81 yard run against UTSA, he had 13 carries for 46 yards, that's less than 4 yards a pop. Against Tulane, 7 carries for 23 yards, less than 4 yards a pop. Against Charlotte, the laughingstock of the American, 8 carries for 20 yards. So you see a lot of scenarios where we're forcing the ball to the slot backs, and I think it's going to come more naturally next year, possibly with Samari Howard, possibly with fan favorite Lloyd Benson, you know. so that's just what I think, too, because like I could like watching Army last year, too, or this past season, like I could just think of how – all you could think of was like how much we're forcing Noah Short, when that's not how the flex one's supposed to work. Like, you know, the slot backs are not your workhorses. They're your bang bang play guys. So that's the way I see it. When we have like great fullback play, like the outside's just gonna open up naturally.
Yeah. I think from a perspective, you know, one of the things, and again, God forbid I talk about offense, but I'm going to, right? But from a defensive perspective, like if I have to defend four different styles of running, that's very, very difficult. So I know I have to defend Cale Helms next year, right? I got a guy that can run QB power, got a guy that can run outside the tackles, create space. He can climb the pocket and create throws, right? So I've got to figure out how to take care of that guy. Got a scheme against him. If I have God's power, you know, Rendina or Smith in the backfield, that changes the way that I play my defense. So now I've got to dedicate a guy to cover God's power for sure, because that kid can break loose. Maybe the other fullbacks, I could probably, you know, play my base defense and not spy the guy. But if that's the case, then what happens when I start setting the edge? And you know, back to Omar's point of Samari Howard or Lloyd Benson, if those guys get loose on the outside, I mean, I think it's one of the things that hopefully they're thinking about it like we're thinking about it. And, you know, the more plays that you can set inside the tackles, you're going to be able to set the edge better. And again, that's what you really want to do. As Coach Munkin says, you know, there are times where you could throw a hand grenade and kill, you know, 41 of 42 player, or, you know, 41 of the players on the field. It's like you hurt everyone because they're so close. And that's really what you want, is you want to be able to suck the defense in and then set the edge or even throw passes. And we've shown that we can use their tight ends this past year. Like, honestly, I think from a perspective, you know, and I'm gonna give a shout out to Terry, but I think, you know, hey, can we turn Tex into an H-back, you know? Just saying, you know,
he'll have you screaming. He'll be screaming at you right now for saying that.
Why? I mean, if he can run the ball and it gives him more touches, like, hey, whatever, he's going to be into his junior year. This is the year that he should break out. And I think that's just one of the things that we have to consider, is like, hey, look at all the position places that we have, people that we can use. How can you maximize their efforts being on the field? And when they're not on the field, force the defense to make changes based off of the personnel packages that are in there. And I think that's ultimately the goal of all the offenses. And your play calling affects that, though, right? So if Noah Short is in, and some of the plays that we saw that were really successful were putting him in motion, the entire defense adjusts because they're floating over to protect him. And then you run a counter play back inside, and that, you know, works out successful. So we've got to identify who our next breakaway back is, and that new, and whoever's going to be the split wide receiver that's going to create that offense, mismatch.
Let me just say, if God's power can run the way that we're all hoping he can run next season, the play calling is going to look more creative, whether it is or it isn't. It might actually be more vanilla and look more creative.
Yeah, I mean, athletes on the field, right? Guys make plays too, you know, because like if your vision is there, like some guys are great following blocks, some guys are great creating off of blocks, and those are two different things, you know. And I think the one caution that I will say, and then we'll move to the next question, is simply this: is you know, when you're running the flex bone, your explosive plays come from consistently running the ball. We saw that in the bowl game. I would have liked to see more of that all season. And I think that's just, it's just a byproduct of like trying to win games. Right. And I get it. Sometimes you have to throw, but you know, chasing explosives gets you in trouble. And I've said that all season. And if you do not believe me, what was the last play of the college football championship game? They were trying to get that big explosive play because they were running short on time, and Carson Beck threw a pick. Now, that's a completely other story. But moving on to the next question, Sir Poppy Seed asks, if Army wins the American next year as a playoff berth in the offering, do we think that's going to happen?
Dude, Kirk Herbstreit will set himself on fire like one of those Buddhist monks protesting the Vietnam War before Army gets the playoff. I'm telling you, the wailing and gnashing of teeth if Army earns one of those playoff spots from the intelligentsia of college football will just be like Watergate levels. I mean, it'll be ridiculous.
Yeah, but it absolutely should happen because like, look, you know, there's a reason why Michigan took them off the schedule during COVID. Like, hey, we're not taking that chance. You know, everything's kind of discombobulated. Here's their chance to bump off a power or, you know, power four team at the time. But the other piece of it is like, you know, doggone it, you should be pushing Army because they're on the ESPN networks, right? The Americans on the ESPN network. So there's no reason for them from a financial standpoint to get me started with that.
ESPN is like the dog that caught the car. Now what do I do with this thing? Yeah. Like, you have college football. What are you doing with it? Why are you only talking about the top 12 brands?
And you continue, and you continue to keep the dudes on the talking. Like, there's some guys that need to be hitting the kneecaps with a ball peen hammer, but that's my personal opinion. And that is not a threat. That is just a fact of life that those guys need to, like, they just need to watch college football. Like, the fact that these guys are in the tank for teams before the season even starts, and then they watch zero games. Well, Alabama should be in the playoff with three losses. Why? They lost three games. You wouldn't do that for a group of five school. So why would you put Miami
in the playoff?
Because of the head-to-head win over Notre Dame. That's really
exactly. That's and behold.
Well, that and the ACC network, but we're not going to talk about, you know, the cash involved, right? Like, that's ultimately what it was. Anyway, moving on. Terry asks, is men's lax better off having to travel and not host the Patriot League Championship this year? Because hosting the Patriot League Championship has not worked out.
So I think they play better just psychologically when they don't have as many expectations. And so I'm sort of wondering how the season's going to go, because you just can't have the same kinds of expectations we've had the last 2 years. They lost too many kids to have that. You know, I don't know what the psychology is inside the building, but they play tight in those big gotta have it games sometimes, especially in the Patriot League. And they have to find a way to loosen up and play their best lacrosse in the biggest situations. And I think if the expectation is that, of course, they have to win because they're the best team by a mile, that's tough. If you have to win every goddamn game, like, that's tough. But if it's just, let's go out and see how well we can play, they usually play pretty damn well in those circumstances. So I wouldn't say that not hosting is an advantage, but yeah, I mean, those expectations certainly haven't done them any favors. And I will also say, for whatever it's worth, that at least speaking personally, I liked to travel as a cadet athlete, because you get out of the academy, like, you get in a hotel, you're focused on your sport in a way that it's really difficult to do if you're just sitting in your barracks room. So that never hurt me at all.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about, you know, just playing the games that are in front of you. You know, and unfortunately, when you play the same teams consistently over and over again, there's always like that team that gets inside your head. So, for example, like, for men's basketball, it's Colgate, you know, for lacrosse, it's Boston University, right? Like, those guys have always been a royal pain in the butt. They probably always will be a royal pain in the butt. And I just think it's just the nature of the sport sometimes, that like, some teams just have your number, or there's a coaching scheme that one guy understands a little bit better, and that's just enough to push him over the top. And it's super, super frustrating, but that is why we play the games, folks. All right, Dan, you want to take the last commercial?
I will, sure. Friends, there's a reason that you do not need another workout. You need a coach who's an expert in fitness and proven protocols, but more importantly, someone who has survived total physical and mental collapse and then pulled himself out of the fire and rebuilt himself stronger and better than ever. Greg Iannaselli is a West Point graduate, class of 1997, Army veteran, successful enterprise software sales exec, IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his confidence, his physical and mental health, Craig rebuilt himself from scratch, from rock bottom, through faith, discipline, and elite level training. At 50, he went and became the overall classic physique bodybuilding champion at the NPC Masters USA National Championships in Las Vegas. Guys, he won the national championship at 50, earned his IFBB pro card, proving that it's never too late to become the warrior you were meant to be. Today, Craig's mission is to coach men who are struggling to stop drifting in decline and resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you're ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, and your warrior ethos identity, apply now at warriorsphysiquefitness.com and start writing your own comeback story. As a special note, Greg offers all active duty veterans, all active duty military veterans and first responders a 15% discount off his 16-week transformation program. AFF Club, First Tee Club members and West Point grads get a massive 30% discount off that same initial 16-week fee. Like all of our sponsors, Greg has a business card on our website. So go there, click it. You'll be talking to him in a day or two. He'll get back to you. I'm telling you, guys, I don't want to say it's too easy because I'm pretty sure that Greg is going to challenge you to take you to some places you haven't been in a long time, but you know, help is out there. Like, you can be that person that you want to be. So yeah, that's it.
I mean, the hardest part about maintaining your New Year's resolution is accountability, right? If you're doing it for yourself, nobody's going to really check in on you. But if you got somebody that's poking at you to keep going, you're probably going to. So that's probably the main thing that I would encourage you. So I already mentioned my favorite thing, Army men's basketball beat Bucknell last night in overtime. Fantastic game. Watch the highlights at the very least. If not, you can watch the whole game. I think it'll be on ESPN Plus. But hey, man, we're at the end of college football is over. We got lacrosse coming up, baseball kicking off pretty soon. There'll be a spring game for Army football. There's lots of things to talk and watch. If you are an Army sports fan, hey, go to the Go Army Sports website, pull down the calendar of your favorite team and have it upload to your respective calendar, whatever variation that you use, so you don't miss any games, or set the alerts on your phone, particularly if the game's on ESPN, you can catch it.
And listen, follow us on social media because Lynn is at a lot of these games. She's going to be at all of the baseball games, I think. I don't know how much we're going to write about baseball, but we should have quite a bit of social media coverage. I find baseball challenging to write about, so that's we got to figure that out. A lot of people would like more baseball coverage, and I don't know how we're going to manage it, but Lynn is going to be shooting a shitload of pictures, which is good.
Yeah, so when in doubt, check out Lynn's stuff too. She'll have plenty of information on those sports for you. But for the crew here at the As for Football, As for Relax show, I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Omar calling to you out of the great state of Oklahoma, preparing for the nor'easter in the middle of the country. And we got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. Hey, stay warm out there, and we will talk to you guys again soon. And as always, beat UMass.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!